From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi meets with Iran and U.S. Ambassador related to the country's situation. Indonesian military TNI clarifies placating tensions in Natuna a diplomatic task. Now, the news in details. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi met Iran's Ambassador to Indonesia Muhammad Azad and U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Joseph R. Donovan Jr. on Monday afternoon, related to the tensions between the two countries. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, when delivering her remarks at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs Christmas celebration on Monday night, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi explained that the meeting with the two ambassadors was important to deliver a message of peace from Indonesia. Minister Retno also hopes each party can restrain optimally so that further conflict escalation will not happen. Particularly Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi also stated that regarding with the Middle East, Indonesia has a direct interest in protecting millions of Indonesian citizens who lived and work in the region. Therefore, the worsening situation in the Middle East will certainly have an impact on Indonesian people in the region. Indonesian military's head of information center, Major General Sistriadi, believes that allaying frictions in the North Natuna waters is not a military task, but a diplomatic one. The statement was made following the violations committed by China's Coast Guard and fishing vessels. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, Sistriadi stated on Monday that to reduce tensions in Natuna is a diplomatic task. Meanwhile, the military is responsible for maritime security, border security affairs in the territorial waters, as well as observation and surveillance in our sovereign territory and exclusive economic zone. He expounded that the military routinely conducts observation and surveillance in Indonesia's sea borders and exclusive economic zone. Hence, reducing tensions in the region comes under the realm of diplomacy while the military conducts routine security operation. Sistriadi countered that the territorial breach by Chinese fishing vessels escorted by the China Coast Guard in the Natuna waters is an attempt to elicit a reaction from the Indonesian military. And she believes that the Indonesian military must respond with caution. South Korean President Moon Jae-in on Tuesday called for a better relation with the North Korea leader Kim Jong-un can visit Seoul, despite Pyongyang's abandonment of its nuclear and missiles test moratoriums. As stated by AFP.com, Moon's appeal came after Kim threatened a demonstration of a new strategic weapon at a four-day ruling party meeting last week, where he never mentioned South Korea. Since the breakdown of the Kim summit with the U.S. President Donald Trump in Hanoi last year, Pyongyang has repeatedly lashed out at the South, saying it has nothing to talk about anymore with Seoul. But Moon, who has long favored engagement with the nuclear-armed North, doubled down on his dovish approach. Moon also hopes that South and North Korea can make efforts together so that the condition for Chairman Kim Jong-un's reciprocal visit can be arranged at an early date. The invitation for Kim to visit Seoul dates from the two leaders' last summit in Pyongyang in September 2018, when the peninsula was basking in a diplomatic rapprochement. This news comes to you over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. America's military strategy in Iraq was thrown into confusion Monday as the Pentagon admitted a letter from a general informing the Iraqi government of an imminent U.S. troop pullout was sent by mistake. As quoted by AFP.com on Tuesday, the latest development came as a sea of black-clad mourners in Tehran paid homage to Qasem Soleimani, the head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Quds Force, who was killed in the U.S. strike in Iraq on Friday. U.S. Brigadier General William Seely informed his Iraqi counterparts in a letter dated on Sunday that American troops were preparing to leave Iraq. Seely said the U.S.-led coalition would be repositioning forces. The letter also stated that in order to conduct this task, coalition forces are required to take certain measures to ensure that the movement out of Iraq is conducted in a safe and efficient manner. It said helicopters would be traveling in and around Baghdad's green zone where the U.S. embassy is located as part of the preparation. AFP could hear helicopters flying low over Baghdad throughout the night on Monday. But Pentagon Joint Chiefs Chairman Mark Milley said on Monday the letter was a mere draft and should not have been sent. Smoke from bushfires is unlikely to delay the Australian Open Tennis Grand Slam, organisers said on Tuesday, insisting they have pulled out all the stops to protect the health and safety of players. As stated by AFP.com, with the opening major of 2020 due to start at January 20th, Melbourne has been blanketed by haze in recent days from blazes burning to the east, part of Australia's bushfires crisis that has left 25 people dead. Novak Djokovic, president of the Association of Tennis Professionals ATP Players Council, said organizers should consider delaying the tournament as a last resort if conditions did not improve. But Tennis Australia chief Craig Tiley said he did not see this as likely. He also said there has been a lot of speculation about whether the smoke from the bushfire will affect the Australian Open. He also explained all the information his side has at the moment, with qualifying coming up next week, is that the forecast is good. They don't expect any delays and they don't implement additional measures to ensure the Australian Open will be able to run as scheduled. Indonesian embassy in Kuwait City called Indonesian citizens living in Kuwait to stay alert and follow the development situation in the country related to the escalation of tensions in Iran and Iraq. It was stated in a written statement from the Indonesian embassy in Kuwait City received by Antaranus agency in Jakarta on Monday. The Indonesian embassy issued a number of appeals for the Indonesian citizen to remain calm and alert and to follow the situation in Kuwait from official sources, namely local government agencies and the official news media. The Indonesian embassy also asked Indonesian citizens to report themselves and their families by online. Moreover, Indonesian citizens are also called to bring complete identity documents such as quality identification cards and Indonesian passport, both in the form of original document and copies. Indonesian citizens are also asked to ensure the security of storage or original documents whenever needed. The Indonesian Maritime Affairs and Fishery Ministry is closely coordinating with the Coordinating Ministry for Political, Legal and Security Affairs amid China's ongoing violations in the Indonesian Exclusive Economic Zone near the Natuna waters. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Minister Edi Prabowo told journalists in Jakarta on Monday that the ministry would do its utmost to fulfill whatever assignments are mandated to it in securing the Indonesian waters from foreign vessels fishing illegally. The ministry has been coordinating with the Coordinating Ministry for Political, Legal and Security Affairs. Yesterday, instructions have been issued. They are going to get strengthened and this will involve all related ministries. The Maritime Affairs and Fishery Ministry would conduct its tasks as the given mandate proportionally, adding that its surveillance mission would keep going ahead by involving those from the Illegal Fishing Task Force. Edi Prabowo also said, securing and safeguarding the country's territorial sovereignty is the main goal, but Indonesia should not be provoked by other parties that attempt to disturb or claim the territory. That was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Hello, listener. Nice to meet you again in our regular program, Commentary. The title of today's commentary is To Overcome the Price of Industrial Gas. Well, listeners, since 2016 until now, the price of industrial gas, which reached 9 until 11 US dollars per million British thermal unit (MMBTU) in Indonesia, has hampered the growth of domestic industries. This price is the highest in ASEAN. In fact, President Regulation Number 40/2016 mandates that the maximum gas sale for industry is 6 US dollar per MMBTU. This fact makes President Joko Widodo concerned, and he expressed this at the limited meeting on availability of gas for industry at the State Palace in Jakarta on Monday. He offered three solutions to overcome the issue of the gas price. The first solution is to reduce the government portion of the result of the cooperation contract contractors, K3S. President Joko Widodo considered that this step could make gas prices cheaper. This is a government quota of 2.2 US dollars per MMBTU. The government's quota is reduced or even eliminated. The price will be cheaper. The second step is to enforce the domestic market obligation, DMO policy, which is the obligation of a business entity or permanent establishments to hand over a portion of oil and gas from its portion to the state through the implementing agency. The third step is to exempt the gas import duty in the peak to facilitate the industry. President Joko Widodo gives time to the related stakeholders until March this year to immediately suppress the price of industrial gas. He is concerned about the expensive price of industrial gas. The offers submitted by President Joko Widodo are expected to solve the problem of high industrial gas prices. However, it is also important for the government to examine these individuals who play in this sector, which makes the price of industrial gas expensive for the benefit of individuals or groups. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in history, I'll begin with January 7, 1965, Indonesia leaves the United Nations. On January 7, 1965, Indonesia left the United Nations in protest at the election of Malaysia as a non-permanent member of the UN Security Council. Indonesia officially left 13 days later via a letter from then Foreign Minister Dr. Subandrio dated January 20, 1965 to the UN Secretary General U Thant. Thus, Indonesia automatically exits from several agencies under the auspices of the United Nations, such as UNESCO, UNICEF, and FAO. Indonesia's exit from the United Nations did not last long, though. Through a message to the UN Secretary General on September 19, 1966, Indonesia expressed its desire to return to being a member of the United Nations. Indonesia's desire was warmly welcomed at the UN General Assembly on September 28, 1966. Moving on to January 7, 1984. Brunei Darussalam officially became the sixth member of ASEAN. ASEAN, or the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, is a geopolitical and economic organization established by countries in the Southeast Asian region on August 8, 1967, in the city of Bangkok, Thailand, with the aim of promoting economic growth, developing the culture of its member countries, maintaining stability and peace, and providing opportunities for members to discuss differences peacefully. At the beginning of the formation of ASEAN, the number of ASEAN members was 5 countries, namely Indonesia, Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, and the Philippines. The 5 countries are the founders of ASEAN. On January 1, 1984, Brunei Darussalam, located on the northern coast of the island of Kalimantan, achieved complete independence from the United Kingdom. Shortly afterwards, on January 7, 1984, Brunei Darussalam joined as the 6th ASEAN member. I'll conclude today in history with January 7, 1989. Akihito becomes Emperor of Japan. Akihito became the 125th Japanese Emperor on January 7, 1989, succeeding his father, Emperor Hirohito, who died. Akihito was the first son and fifth child of seven siblings of the Emperor Showa or Hirohito and Empress Kojun or Nagako. Prince Akihito took the throne after Emperor Hirohito died on January 7, 1989 and officially became the 125th Emperor of Japan on November 12, 1990. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih from Indonesia to the World.
Dan terulang lagi, kau sakiti aku yang telah percaya. Dan akhirnya kini, hatiku tak ada sedikit pun rasa.
Cepat terpisah.
Janganlah kau salah. Aku bukan putus asa. Tapi ingin putus saja. Karena tak cinta sudah tak bisa. Denganmu.
Tak cuma sekali, sering kita putus cuma sehari. Berkali kau janji mau berubah malah semakin
Ingin Putus Aja, sung by GAC. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. It's nice to be with you again in our good program, My Indonesia. The topic for today is Indonesia is optimism to boost economic relations between Indonesia and South Africa in 2020. The situation in South Africa is very challenging for Indonesia to be able to boost its wider market and to export a variety of Indonesian products to South Africa. This was affirmed by Ambassador of Republic of Indonesia to South Africa, Salman Al-Farisi, in Pretoria in early 2020. He explained that in 2019, Indonesia received several positive indications, such as the commitment of several Indonesian companies to send representatives in South Africa, and new investment plans of South African company to Indonesia. As quoted from www.kemlu.co.id, Ambassador Salvan Alfasiri expressed that several agreements such as the defense cooperation and memorandum of understanding in the fishery sector have reached the final process. Indonesia hopes that 2020 will bring promising development. Since 2015, trade trends between Indonesia and South Africa have shown fluctuating graphs. Ambassador Salman was not too concerned about the 2018 Indonesian-South African trade balance, which shows a surplus for South Africa. He considered that the increased purchase of capital goods from South Africa showed productive activities in Indonesia, especially the need for intensive infrastructure development in recent years. Indonesia still has a great potential to increase non-oil and gas exports such as automotive products, palm oil and food and beverage products to sub-Saharan African countries. Until now, tariff barriers still hamper trade relations between Indonesia and South Africa. During his working visit to Cape Town, 18 until 19 December 2019, Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, met Minister of Trade and Industry of South Africa, Ibrahim Patel. During the meeting, Minister Ibrahim welcomed the plan to discuss the preferential trade agreement PTA between Indonesia and South Africa. He wants concrete steps with the start of study by technical team, which is expected to meet in Indonesia in early 2020. He also indicated some investment potential by Indonesian business people, especially the relocation of textile and footwear industry. The economic condition of South Africa and surrounding countries in accreditation of Indonesian embassy in Pretoria affects Indonesian government strategy to expand markets for Indonesian products. Ambassador Salman believes that the investment-led model is one of the mechanisms of cooperation between the two countries. He considered that Indonesian business people must invest in African countries, which in turn will increase exports. He also added that helping the local economy through opening new jobs will automatically improve awareness, demand, and purchasing power for Indonesian products. This can be carried out by exporting semi-finished products from Indonesia, while the final product process is carried out through partnership with local parties. Meanwhile, Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan support the importance of Indonesian investment overseas because this will bring about positive implications to increase the level of domestic components and exports abroad. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Ketika ku mendengar bahwa kini kau tak lagi dengannya, dalam benakku timbul tanya, masihkah ada dia di hatimu bertahta, atau ini saat bagiku untuk singgah di hatimu. Siapkah kau tuh jatuh cinta lagi? Meski bibir ini tak berkata, bukan berarti ku tak merasa ada yang berbeda di antara kita. Dan tak mungkin ku melewatkanmu hanya karena diriku tak mampu untuk bicara bahwa aku inginkan kau ada di hidupku.
There was Hi-Fi with a song entitled Siapkah Kau Tuk Jatuh Cinta? Listener, for the next segment, we will present to you Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I introduce you about Doreng Beach in East Nusa Tenggara. Sika Regency on Flores Island, East Nusa Tenggara, has various interesting tourism objects which are worth visited. One of them is Doreng Beach. The beauty of Doreng Beach cannot be separated from a combination of white sand and coral rocks which stretches for 4 kilometers. Moreover, enchantment of sunset in the west part of Doreng Beach can be enjoyed by visitors. Doreng Beach is located at Nanbura Village, Bola Subdistrict, Sika Regency. The distance from Maumere, the capital city of Sika Regency, to Doreng Beach is about 40 kilometers. If using motor vehicle, it takes only 1 hour heading to the beach. Along the trip to Doreng Beach, your eyes will be spoiled with beautiful scenery. There is panorama of mountain and hills and also shady trees along the street. Arriving on the beach, you will directly see the stretch of white sand as long as 4 km. On the beach, you can swim and sunbathe on the white sand. You can take shelter under shady trees when the sun shines brightly. The stretch of white sand combines with the coral rocks become the most favorite spot for selfie. If you want to travel to Doreng Beach, I suggest you to bring your own foods and beverages because there is no available food stall at the beach. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Doreng Beach in East Nusa Tenggara.
Jangan kau bohongi hatimu, jelas kau ingin aku. Percuma punya wajah yang merdu bila dia tak mampu melukiskan senyummu. Izinkan ku isi harimu, usir mendung kelabu. Percuma punya tampang yang syahdu bila dia tak mampu melukiskan senyummu. Oh, tunggu apa lagi sayang, tinggalkanlah dirinya. Kan ku buat hari-harimu bahagia. Ada lagi tangis air mata. Buat apa kau mengutuk dalam kisah yang semu? Izinkanlah ku cumbu hatimu dan merangkai cinta. Oh, tunggu apa lagi sayang, tindakanlah dirinya. Kan ku buat hari-harimu bahagia. Lalu tunggu apa lagi sayang, ku lebih baik darinya. Tak akan ada lagi tangis air mata. Tinggalkanlah dirinya, kan ku buat hari-harimu penuh bahagia.
Tunggu apa lagi sayang,
You have just listened to the song entitled Tunggu Apalagi, sung by Lala Huta. For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is di bandara, or in English, at the airport. Next, I will give an example of conversation in di bandara, or in English, at the airport. At the airport, Kevin wants to go to the immigration department, but he doesn't know where the location. At the airport, then he asks the airport clerk he meets.
Permisi, Pak. Di mana letak bagian imigrasi?
Di dekat tempat mengambil bagasi.
Dari sini, saya harus kemana?
Bapak lurus saja, kemudian belok ke kiri.
Oh, baik, Pak. Terima kasih.
Sama-sama.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce the expression and vocabulary related to today's topic, which is di bandara or at the airport. I will say the words two times and you may repeat after me. Lurus, lurus, which means straight. Belok kiri, which means turn left. Belok kanan, which means turn right. Di mana letak bagian imigrasi? Di mana letak bagian imigrasi, which means where is the immigration department? Di dekat tempat mengambil bagasi. Di dekat tempat mengambil bagasi, which means near the place of claiming the luggage. Dari sini saya harus kemana? Dari sini saya harus kemana? Which means where should I go from here? Bapak lurus saja, kemudian belok kiri. Bapak lurus saja, kemudian belok kiri, which means you just go straight, then turn left. Terima kasih. Terima kasih, which means thank you. Sama-sama. Sama-sama, which means you are welcome. The word di mana or where is used to ask the location of a place. Let's listen to these examples. Di mana letak toilet? Di mana letak toilet, which means where is the toilet? Di mana letak klinik? Di mana letak klinik, which means where is the clinic? To respond to that question, you can use the preposition di, which means at, on, etc. For example, di depan, which means in front of. Di lantai dua, which means on the second floor. Di dekat, which means near. Di seberang, which means across. When you want to know the direction to that location, one of the questions that can be asked is, dari sini saya harus kemana? Dari sini saya harus kemana? Which means, from here, where should I go? To respond to that question or to show direction of a location, to show a direction to a location, you can use directions such as lurus, belok kiri, belok kanan, which means straight, turn left, and turn right. Example, di mana letak kantor pos? Di mana letak kantor pos, which means where is the post office? Di seberang kantor polisi di Jalan Dago. Di seberang kantor polisi di Jalan Dago, which means across from the police station on Jalan Dago. Dari sini saya harus kemana? Dari sini saya harus kemana? Which means, where should I go from here? Bapak bisa lurus, kemudian belok kanan. Bapak bisa lurus, kemudian belok kanan. Which means, you can go straight and then turn right. Saya mau ke toko buku. Dari sini saya harus kemana? Saya mau ke toko buku. Dari sini saya harus kemana? Which means, I want to go to the bookstore. Where should I go from here? Bapak bisa belok kiri, kemudian lurus. Bapak bisa belok kiri, kemudian lurus. Which means you can turn left, then straight ahead. In Indonesian, the word bapak is used to address an older or respected man. In spoken language, the words bapak can be abbreviated to pak. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the example of conversation once more.
Permisi, Pak. Di mana letak bagian imigrasi?
Di dekat tempat mengambil bagasi.
Dari sini, saya harus kemana?
Bapak lurus saja, kemudian belok ke kiri.
Oh, baik, Pak. Terima kasih.
Sama-sama.
That was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can help you learning more about the language. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
In the house, yo man. Let me tell you something about this song. Check it out.
Tidak perlu pantai jika ingin bersantai. Dengarlah lagu ini lewat headphone yang kau pakai.
Nikmati sambil tanganmu melambai-lambai.
Baru bilang bye-bye, eh sudah sampai.
Kau kona buah kelapa. Kau kona yang aku suka. Kau kona lagu
That was Coconut, sung by Project Pop. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.winews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome to Music Corner. Today we present a Malay song to you entitled Pucuk Pisang, sung by Cici Vianora. The song Pucuk Pisang consists of three verses of poem. Like its title, Pucuk Pisang, the song also uses the word Pucuk Pisang on its lyrics. The song tells about homesickness of someone to their lover, who is now far away. She or he hopes to meet again with the lover. The song is quite popular in Sumatra and has been sung in various versions and regional languages. Well, let us listen to the song Pucuk Pisang, sung by Cici Vianora. Enjoy the song.
Indonesia.
ada sesuatu yang ingin aku katakan kepadamu, matahari jiwaku. Setelah sekian lama kita berdua memadu asmara, kini tiba waktunya ku mengutarakannya padamu. Oh, oh.
Of Indonesia.
Ku sayang padamu, tapi maaf sebatas teman saja.
Dulu ku sepi kamu yang selalu ku cari. Dulu ku sedih kamu yang selalu ada di sekitarku. Untuk merangkukku, kini ku senang dan kamu tak ku utamakan. Kamu tersinggung, berpikir ku menghindarmu. Kamu salah,
kamu salah.
Niatku bukan begitu, ku menjauh karena bukan kamu. Ku sayang padamu, tapi maaf sebatas teman saja. Ku bilang rindu, tapi maaf
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia. And also you can send your email to voi@voinews.id.